for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 27th, year 2000. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Well, Dr. Knowles asked me what I was going to share on, and I said, well, I got two sermons, so you're going to get preached through twice.
Amen.
I shared up with the ladies up there. I told them I just loaded my shotgun, we're just going to shoot everything. And so we literally did. But the Lord is good. I had been asking the Lord what he wanted me to share this afternoon and on deception. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just come to you tonight, this afternoon, Father, as your people, and thank you for the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just praise you and give you glory because you are God. And I ask you by your Spirit, Lord, to bring those things to remembrance that you would have me share. And Lord, open our spiritual ears and eyes and our understanding, our spiritual eyes that we might see clearly, our ears that we might hear you, and our hearts, Lord, that the word will seed will fall on good ground and bring forth fruit. And we praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, praise the Lord. If you will, I want to start this afternoon on in Revelation chapter 9. I was talking to Brother Jim about the beast. I shared some upstairs on the beast. Tommy, you were teaching on him in the nature of the beast, and I was teaching on the beast and people. I said I would like to get Brother Jim and Brother Tom and Brother Bill to come, Dr. Noel, come to my church and cast that thing out of that lady. I'm so tired of dealing with him. You know, he has seven heads, and one of them's blasphemy. And I'm telling you, that thing has been turned loose sometimes. When I was telling the girls, if you saw what I did to the girl that's in, you'd think I was being cruel because I get a handful of tissue. So you bind the spirit. Well, I bind. He said, you're not binding me, woman. Who you think you are? And I'd just take me some tissue and put it in her mouth. I said, you're not talking in my church. And I bind it. And, you know, put the tissue up to her mouth. But in Revelation chapter 9, before I get ahead of myself, we have the angel that sounded, and it says, let me start with verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And as I was studying, reading that this morning, the Lord was showing me again that this smoke that comes forth is deception. And that's the way that Satan deceives us. He doesn't want us to know the truth. He doesn't want us to believe. He covers up, and he doesn't want us to see clearly. And we need to ask the Lord to let us see by the Spirit and discern by the Spirit. When I start talking about this bottomless pit being opened and the spirits, I've already been loosed because I'm dealing with spirits that I've never dealt with before. And they tell me when I was binding them from the heavens, they told me that I was going the wrong direction. And they said they came from the pit. And you say, you talk to demons? Oh, yeah, sometimes I don't talk. They talk and I listen, you know, because I really don't want to talk to them sometimes. I'm so aggravated with some of them. But anyways, what I want you to see, though, is the spirit of deception works. And as this bottomless pit is open, I believe that we have one in us. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. You don't have to agree with me. But they're coming from somewhere. They're coming up out there. We've been in deliverance, and we've delivered a lot of the spirits, what I call the lesser spirits. My son calls them furballs. And so we're getting to the deeper ones, the ones that are the root of the problem. I did deliverance on a lady years ago and went after schizophrenia on her. And one side of schizophrenia was rejection, and the other side was rebellion. But in the middle, there was something that was called the split pea. I never heard anybody deal with that before. And so she would tell me, "I feel like I'm divided. I'm split. I don't know. I feel like I don't know who I am." And so we just had to ask for the Lord to show us how to deal with it. And we called the things out of her and got her free from it. And so as we ministered deliverance to her for this, it's a lot easier to talk to the ladies than it is to you guys. Because I can see all that. I'm not going to believe this. Well, it's okay. I said, I don't care. ran into a spirit that was called, what was the name of that thing? But he had 16 personalities under him. And we had to get the personalities out. And we just began to unpeel and unravel her like an onion, you know. Jesus said when he called Lazarus forth, he said, loose him and let him go. And so we were just loosening her and letting her go. And she had been abused as a child. She had been dedicated into Satanism. In fact, she had been brought as a child through a carcass of an animal and burst into the kingdom of darkness, into Satan's kingdom. And we had to deliver her from this. Now, you've heard of it. You've seen it. And we had to free her from this. And it was a battle because the enemy didn't want to let her go. But I was telling the girls upstairs, this girl is one of the best deliverance workers I have. And her discernment is tremendous, you know. And so as we dug into them, these spirits, we ran into different things. Now, I had not run into the beast before, and I don't want to get on that yet. I hadn't run into him until just a couple, 3 years ago when he told me that's who he was. So I think that's who he is. But we know that the bottomless pit is being opened that you were talking about this morning that's going to be open. But I'm wondering if it hadn't already been opened. And all these spirits are out into the world. Today, I saw, I told the ladies, I saw the dragon go past my house in the spirit. And it was an enormous thing. And it went over to a church on the other side of my house, about four doors down. I was glad he didn't stop at my house. But I saw it in the spirit, and it was horrible looking thing. So God is trying to prepare us to not be deceived.
Yes.
Because we're trusting people. And we sometimes just, you know, take things and don't look into the Word to see if it be true or not. The Word says to try the spirits.
Yes.
And I'm going to get on that in just a minute. But in here in Revelation, when we see that the bottomless pit was open, and if you look over in verse 11, and it said they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is, in Hebrew a tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Well, one of the heads of the beast, you know, in Revelation 13, it tells us that the beast is the image of the dragon. He has seven heads and the crowns and the horns and all of this. And so one of his heads is Abaddon, Apollyon, Abaddon, and one is Jezebel, one is Beelzebub, one is, oh goodness, I thought I could remember them. I didn't write them down, but they'll come to me. But I want you to know that we're dealing, what they are is destruction. What we're dealing with here is destruction. Well, who is the destroyer? So actually we're dealing with spirits of Satan himself. And he comes to deceive. And so now let's go over to 1 John chapter 4, okay? And God's telling us, he said, try the spirits. You know that the Lord doesn't get angry at us if we try a spirit. Every spirit that says, names the name of Jesus is not of God. There are, you know, you don't try a spirit by saying, let me read scripture to you first. Let me show you. He said in First John chapter 4 and verse 1, says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God, heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. I'm sorry. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." He said, "Try the spirits to see if they be of God or not." And when I first started trying the spirits, I would say, "Did Jesus come in the flesh?" They say, "Yeah, yeah." We say, a demon can say yes to you. I'm talking. If you're not, don't know you're talking to a demon. If you're talking to a person and they say he came in the flesh, you see, we need to put it in a form where they have to say, we need to ask him, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? He came to destroy the works of the devil. And so you don't want to ask them a question that they can answer yes or no to. Because they can do that without it bothering them or causing them any harm. Then you have to ask them, what did he come for? What did he come for? He died to save that which was lost. Where did he do it? Upon the cross. Upon Calvary. So you make them tell you not only what he came for, but what he came for and where he did it. They don't want to tell you that he came to destroy the works of the devil, because they are of the devil. I had one of the girls tell me just a few minutes ago that they were a minister to someone, and they called a certain spirit off, and was calling a spirit off, and the person seemed to get angry about it. And I said, "Well, then you're not talking to the individual, but you're talking to the spirits within them." And I want to say this before I go any further. When you're in deliverance, people, we're trying to get free from the things that are in us that you may not have any idea that they're there. They could be coming down from the sins of the fathers. And I started to teach on the sins of the fathers, but I always do that. And it had been a lot easier if I had. But the thing is, when we go after, say, a homosexual spirit, that doesn't mean you're homosexual. It means there's a spirit there that could come down from the sins of your fathers that is in you, and it needs to be cast out. Some water. And so when we say, the different things, recognize the fact that we're not talking to you, but we're talking to the spirits within you. And what you want to do is say, and this is what I say, if it's there, Lord, and it probably is, I want it out. And I was telling the girls yesterday, I said, everyone in here is under the curse of the bastard if you haven't had it broken and called off of you. Because somewhere in your background, someone brought forth an illegitimate child. There's incest in everyone's family. And it has never been taken care of until we begin to learn about it, because it's never been preached before. So therefore, everyone's under a curse of incest until it's broken and taken care of. And so don't get upset if somebody says calls off of you a curse of incest. Thank you, Doc. Or a curse of the bastard, or a homosexual curse, or a lesbian curse, or whatever. But say, Lord, if that thing be in me, I want it out. We don't want anything that belongs to the devil, do we? And so we need to be able to discern and to try the spirits whether they be of God or not. So, over in 1 Timothy in chapter 4, praise the Lord, glory. Verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Paul was warning us as he spoke to Timothy, to the church. He was saying, God doesn't want us to be deceived. He doesn't want us to be led astray. He wants us to know the truth and to walk in the truth. And so he said, he's warning here that in the latter days that people would give heed to seducing spirits. And there are many seducing spirits in the world today that are trying to seduce God's people. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience served with a hot iron. You know, if you don't believe this is true, and today, look around you. Anything goes. Nothing is wrong. If it feels good, do it. I was telling the girls upstairs, I was sharing on that, y'all need it too. I need to hear it again also. On the Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45 says, when the unclean spirit has gone out, he wanders through dry places and finding no rest, he returns into his house bringing seven worse than the first. And you know, if we don't, when you receive deliverance, if you don't keep those things out, that will happen. That will happen. If you come in and you, as I said, I've had people tell me, I didn't get any deliverance after they had bukus of it. And so we want to know what they did when they left the house and when they left the church. Did they go back into sin again, or did they protect themselves? And what they did, they had a new kingdom brought in. Seven is perfection, spiritual perfection. Eight is a new beginning. So when those things return, they bring eight, not just one. And then they start a new kingdom with a new beginning within a person. So people, when you get deliverance, be careful that you don't walk out and get into sin and let the door and open the door for these things to return again. Over in Second Timothy in the third chapter, I was telling those girls upstairs, I said, every time I've come, I've tried to teach different things that the Lord has given me that I share in my church, but the Lord's been telling me to go back to the beginning and refresh and renew in us things we sometimes have forgotten. And so we need to go back to the beginning and remember that there are things we do as we receive deliverance and as we do deliverance. In 2 Timothy, in verse 3rd chapter, in verse 1, it said, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Men have become lovers of themselves and not of God, and it's because of deception coming in. And people sit around and say, well, I don't have any demons. I'm under the blood. I'm covered with the blood. I'm washed in the blood. And you know, over in the 12th chapter of Exodus, when the blood was put on the door, the destroyer could not enter into the house. And that was blood of animals. I just told them the blood last week in my church. And what I was saying to them, the law had not come when this happened. And they were protected. But we have the word, and we usually have an open door for, even though we're washed in the blood, we've been bought by the blood of Jesus, we still have open doors that the enemy can come in and deceive us. And he can come in and attack. And so, Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy, he said, in the last days, this is what we're going to find. We're going to find that men are lovers of themselves. And people, the thing that's bothering me is that and it's God's people that I'm seeing that are so in love with themselves. And they're so perfect.
Right.
And God said, hey, don't be deceived. Wake up. Well, I don't have any demons. Y'all want to cast that out of me? You see, the deception works, and it's lying spirits lie to us, and they deceive us. And they come in, and they try to destroy, to steal the word from you. And to get you into sin. In verse 13, Paul said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, I had been concerned about men following the miracles, signs and wonders, rather than following the signs and wonders following men. God says the signs and wonders will follow the word. But I see people being deceived, and they run here and they run there, and they're looking for this miracle and this miracle. I want to be where the miracles are. Well, I'm going to give you a scripture on that. Because God does not want His people. You know what I say? What God's doing somewhere else, He can do here. If you come believing He will do it, He does it. He will do. It takes faith to move God. We said, God, you know, Jesus said, "Will I find faith on earth when He returns?" And what happens is the enemy is doing everything he can to steal our faith. Man, I tell you, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. When I lost my husband, I was in the brother ministered to me yesterday morning, and one day he runs into another over here because it's such a continuous thing. And he's saying, "You've been under a cloud of darkness or heaviness," or I forgot how he said it. And I thought, "You right on. It's been horrible." You see, I told the girls upstairs, he said, "You shouldn't let demons talk." Well, sometimes you can't stop them. And I was ministering one Sunday morning in my church, and I think it's been over a year ago, and I was praying for a girl, and she manifested. On Sunday morning, I try my best not to manifest anybody because I don't want to do deliverance on Sunday morning. Not that kind. Not that on the floor kind. Because I got my Sunday best on, you know. Said I'm going to come back and I'm going to do deliverance Sunday night. And sometimes I work till 10, 11 o'clock and start at 6. That's a long time. And so anyway, she manifested and this thing manifested in her. He said, he told me, and I couldn't remember how he said it, but he had told me, he said, "We're going to stop you. You are digging up things that we don't want known." And I thought, "You know, you going to stop me?" And I didn't say anything, and I was just praying, continued praying. And he said, "We will attack Jim." Well, I thought he was talking about my son. And we were praying over him. We knew he was in some trouble, and, you know, he was serving the devil at that time. And he said, "We'll stop you for a while, but you'll come back." And I thought about that. She said, "Well, you don't believe what demons said." And we broke curses and we cast out and we rebuked it and cast it down. But you know, when my Jim got hit, everything I believed, the devil was trying. I mean, it was being put to the test. Because I had spoken here and everywhere in different places. Said people hate to say they've got a demon. Well, I don't have a demon, you know. They'd rather have cancer than a demon. Well, my husband had cancer. And we went after curses of cancer, demons. We went after everything on the sun. I don't know why my husband died. I still ask the Lord why. But the thing is that what that demon told me came to pass. Now you tell me. I broke the curse. Jim and I prayed against it, and it was 6 months. Jim has been gone 6 months, but the Lord's brought me back. I got mad when the Lord told me that. Devil was laughing at me. I really got mad. And I started back again. But what I'm saying is that we need sometimes, you know, we need to really try the spirits and see what's going on. And we need to be, keep our faith working. I had to go back. Let me tell you, I had to go back to just speaking faith to myself, quoting the scriptures on faith, reading scriptures on faith, and I had to say, "God, I know your word's true. I know your word's true. The devil's a liar and the truth's not in him. I don't care what anybody says. I've had everybody tell me everything why Jim died. I don't know why Jim died. He died, and I know that God knows. I don't, but I know I had to build my faith back up where I could believe again. And God has He's restoring me back to, let me tell you something. The devil ain't seen nothing yet. I just telling those girls, I said, I stopped doing deliverance in my house, but I'm just before starting all over again. If people want deliverance, I'm liable to bring them right in my house and do deliverance right there. Because I'm not going to let him win. Because I know God's given me authority over the power of the devil, and he called me into deliverance. I didn't ask for it. He gave it to me. And I know it's true, and I know he's been revealing things to me about spirits, and I know that he's not giving it to me just to sit on. And I'm going to share it, and if you believe it, fine. And I was telling them upstairs, you know, within you and I, we've got that false trinity. It's there. And it needs to be bound. You can bind it and take its power away and then throw it out. But you need to work on it. You need to bind the beast, and you need to bind the dragon, and you need to bind the false prophet. But you know that false prophet acts so much like the Holy Ghost sometimes you think it is. And that's why God is wanting us not to be deceived by that thing. That's why we need to try what those spirits say to us in our heads, in our minds. Instead of taking it as gospel, you need to learn the voice of the Lord and the voice of that false prophet. Because he's there and he's working. We don't want to confess that. But I'm telling you, I have dealt with the beast. I have met the dragon. Not only seen him in the spirit realm, but I met him in this woman. And she had for years, listen to me, for years been listening to that false prophet thinking it was God. He was a false counselor. He was counseling her. She was calling him God. God told me this. God told me that. God told me this. Well, you better check up on whose God is talking to you, whether it be the Lord God Almighty or the devil. Because Jesus himself said that even the very elect, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And my prayer is, God, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me back off just because people don't believe what I say. Lord, keep me, give me, let me be, speak what you give me, and then let them judge it and discern it. Over in Revelation 16, Thomas talked about it this morning on the false trinity. Have you ever considered that false trinity being in you? I saw it like this. When the Lord first began to show it to me, he showed me the two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said the one you feed the most is the one that's growing the most in you. You feed on God, you walk in the things of the Lord, and you walk in the sense knowledge realm of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that kingdom is growing. And so there's two kingdoms within us. Well, if God is ruler of the kingdom of God within us, and the kingdom of God within us is the power and the rule and the reign of Almighty God living within us, then who's ruling and reigning in the kingdom? Other kingdom, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The enemy is. Because you and I came out of the devil's kingdom, there's only two. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. So he is still ruling. You say, well, he's not ruling in me. Well, that's good. But let me ask you this. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, I just met, that beast just manifested over there. They won't say manifest. There's a beast in that individual. Listen to them. Watch them. Did you ever have that happen to you? Did you just get so angry you couldn't control your temper? Oh, y'all looking so pious. I know y'all didn't have that happen. Oh, every one of us do. And you know what happens? The tongue goes to work. Blah, 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 blah. We do everything but blaspheme the Lord God. We blaspheme our people. I mean, people who have made us mad. That is that thing rising up within us. It's coming up out of the innermost being, of our innermost being. We need to recognize our enemy. And people, we've had enough deliverance on the little furball things that we need to get the roots out. We need to go after that spirit of destruction. We need to go after that false prophet. We need to go after the devil himself. You know, Donna was talking last night about the enemy and her that had attacked her. And I always said, we had dealt with so many different spirits in our church that I had said, you know, we're such a small group. The devil wouldn't mess with us. I mean, we're no problem to him, you know. But you know, I've come to the conclusion that if you get a real knowledge about how he works and you start attacking him, he knows about you. And he sends his big guns at you. And he will do it. And he wants to stop you in any way that he can. Okay, going on. Let's go. Let me see where I want to go from here. I was going to read 16, wasn't I? In verse 12. Well, let's go to 13. Tommy read that one this morning. Verse 13, he said, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. But what I want you to look at are those three spirits and the frogs coming up out of their mouth. You know, Dom touched on it last night, and we've taught it many times here about cleaning your house. And you remember the frogs that we always talk about? You don't need frogs in your house. Well, here's a good example of them. The frogs are representative of those spirits that come up out of the mouth of the beast and the dragon and the false prophet. But what I saw, these frogs are unclean spirits. And then you go back over into Matthew's gospel where it talks about the unclean spirits in the man, the deaf and dumb spirit, and those spirits that Jesus cast out. Here you've got a picture of them. And Tommy touched on this morning, and he went on with the words that come out. I saw the unclean things coming out of the mouth as the things that are coming against God's people, that God's people needs to take authority over them. And I said a while ago, turn the TV off. You're getting all this garbage that's coming from the very pit of hell into your house, and you're sitting there and you're absorbing it. You said, well, you know, you're getting witchcraft, you're getting all kinds of the occult, you're getting New Age, you're getting pornography. I mean, anything you want, I suppose, is on the TV. And it's coming into God's people's house, and God's saying, hey, clean it up. We clean up the physical. If you clean this part up and you don't clean that part up, what does the scripture say? The dog has returned and the hog to his wallow. You're going right back. Things have a right to come right back in. And let me tell you, you need to cleanse your house. You say, well, this is elementary. Let me ask you something. What in your house is open doors for stuff to come in? How much have you compromised the word? You say, well, I didn't compromise the word. What have you got in your house you need to get out? Well, I got money in that. Listen, we have thrown things away. We have destroyed things. You don't give them to somebody. You don't give somebody something that you yourself don't need. You destroy it. How many of you been involved in the Masonic Lodge and you said, well, there's nothing wrong with it? My husband was a member of the Masonic Lodge, and we went to burn his apron and saw a demon leave out of it and go up into a tree, and we had to run it off. Well, tell me it's not demonic. It didn't want to burn to start with. And it was in the house. People bring in, as she was talking about last night, the Buddhas and all of this. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a little statue in your house. Whether it's a Buddha or not, did you look on the bottom of it and see where it came from? Do you know what's in it? And I told them, I'm extreme. I don't care. I am extreme. I don't have stuff like that in my house. People of God wants us to be, what did he say over in Exodus, in Exodus 12, when he began to bring them out of the wilderness? He said, get the leaven out of your house. What do you think he was talking about? Those things that are in your house that you don't need. He said, well, you need to get them out of this house too, but I'm a firm believer, you need to get them out of your physical house before you go after this one. And I'll tell you why I believe this. My daughter-in-law had been dedicated as a witch. Isn't that nice? And she married into my family. I felt God had to have a sense of humor. I didn't know about this. She's a sweet little timid girl, and just my son just loved her, and he married her. It's my youngest son. And so, you know, they started coming to church. She really didn't want to come, but she came because he did. He got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he got into deliverance. He was a good deliverance worker. He and I went, he always said, Mother, we deliver. And we were going to, we went to people's houses. Some of the women would get in trouble, and they'd call, and we'd just go deliver. And so one night he was allergic to bee stings, a wasp or anything that would sting him. He almost died several times from it. And so when I found out the ruler of allergies and all, we were working on him one night. Well, his wife manifested. And we hadn't done any deliverance on her, and come to find out this thing that manifested was a witch. She had been dedicated as a witch. So we went after the witch spirit, and we started ministering to her, and she got a lot of deliverance. Now listen to me. I know that you don't, a lot of you know this about toys and things. She, as a baby, had a doll and a bear put in her crib. with her. And it was in her, her mother still had it when she married my son. And she used to play the piano in our church. And we had an old upright piano like that, only it was just beat up. I mean, it clank, clank, clank. That's all we had in this big church. We have a baby grand right now. It was given to us. We don't have their big church, but we got a baby grand piano. But she would go to play the piano, and she said that bear would sit up on the piano while she played. So she said, it's awful. She came to me one night, and she was crying. She said, I'm not going to play piano again. And I said, why? She said, that bear is on my piano. And I said, what bear? She says, the one that was in my bed when I was a baby. I said, I played with that up until I was a pretty good-sized kid. I said, well, what happened to it? Did you throw it away? And she says, my mama's got it home in the, I think I see the chest or trunk or something. We tried to minister deliverance to her for that thing, and we couldn't get the thing out. I said, why? That thing said, I don't have to go. I said, her mother still got it. As long as she's got it, I can stay here. So they went over and got the bear. My son got it. And she liked to tore him to pieces. His wife did. That thing manifested in her and came after him. He burnt the bear. And she came back to the church. We got that. But she clawed him. She fought him. He was trying to hold her back with one hand and burn the bear with the other one. And he finally got it destroyed. And then she was delivered from it. But that thing was tormenting her. And she came to the conclusion her children didn't need stuffed animals. They didn't need dolls. They didn't need this, and they didn't need that. And they were very careful what they gave those kids to play with. And those kids were in deliverance. She had three kids, and those children are different. We had to get rid of the bear first. And let me tell you, the same thing with the doll. That doll followed her. You know, the thing that I find about people with having problems, that sometimes they have a hard time telling about it. And she was just being so tormented about that doll, by that doll. And finally, I'll tell you another thing while I'm talking about destroying things. They had done, her mother's friend had done a chart, horoscope, whatever, astrological cloud on her. And we were trying to get her delivered from that, and until we burnt that chart, found it and burned it, her mother had that, we had to destroy all of that for her to be free. Now, can you see why it's so important to get garbage out of your house? You don't know what you bring in with it. I've told this before, and I'll tell it now. I have taken everything off my walls and put scripture up on my wall. I framed it. Some people have given me scriptures in frames, and I'd hang it. That's the only thing I have on my wall beside mirror. And we were having slamming of doors in my dining room. We'd have company, and the door would open automatically, and then it would wham. It would be slammed again, and we'd hear bump, bump, bump in there. And we had prayed over it. Jim and I had prayed over it. We had anointed it with oil. We looked, and we didn't see anything in there wrong, you know, that would give anything a legal hold there. And I don't know why I'm telling on this. I guess this is what the Lord wants me to, we want to clean up. But we didn't see anything wrong in there. I'd thrown away crystal. I'd broken crystal. I knew that witches use crystal to enter into your house. And we'd broken, I mean, we destroyed everything that we could get our hands on that we thought would be an open door. And we still had this thing that was in our dining room. And you could go in there and you could feel it was in there. So one morning I was preaching in the church, and the Lord showed me a picture of scripture on my wall. And it had a tree in the picture, and the scripture was up above the tree limb. And on the tree limb, there were birds. And there was a dead bird hanging upside down on that tree limb, and I didn't know it. We had looked at it, but we'd never seen the dead bird. And I told Jim, I said, Jim, the Lord showed me what's given that demon in our dining room a legal hold. And we went home, and sure enough, there was a dead bird. Why would someone paint a dead bird in a tree except to bring curse you? Why would they do it? It absolutely was done to curse. And so what I'm telling you, that there are things that when we bring objects into our house and we don't examine them and pray over, and I've examined them and prayed over them and still got them in and didn't know it. brought in curtains with hearts on it. See, I'm against hearts, so I'm against everything. Valentine. I was real careful, and I taught it in the church, and my little granddaughter was 5 years old. And I went out and bought new curtains and brought them in. We looked at them. Jim and I looked at them. We examined them. They were pretty, and we put them up in my kitchen. The first time my granddaughter came over, she says, "Grandmama, why have you got hearts on your window?" I said, "What?" She said, "Look." And little tiny hearts, so tiny you could hardly see them. That's also them. We didn't see them. So down came the curtains. He said, "Why? Don't want anything in my house that's not of God." Of course, it still comes in, as I said, because we get deceived. But here we see this talking about the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. And I know everybody, two-thirds of you sitting here saying, "There's not in me." Well, good. When did you get free from it? And tell me how, because I want to know. Glory to God. We all want to be free. But we want to get the root of the stuff out. And we're going to be free from it because God has said, Tommy read scripture over there this morning. I forgot where it was. It said that he's going to deliver us from it. But he won't do it unless we believe and ask him to. I always tell people, God won't deliver you from your friends. And he won't. If you make a friend of them and you can keep them, I always tell them when, in my church when they said, "Well, you know, I don't have that." And I said, "Well, good, it don't go home with me. I got enough going home with me. I don't want yours." But I do know that he's telling us, let's go to 2 Thessalonians, that we're not to be deceived. We're to know. We're to look and we're to know and believe. You know, if you don't believe, God will send you a strong spirit of delusion. He'll send you a strong delusion. And then you can't believe. 2 Thessalonians, he talks about it. Paul's talking there, and he said, this is what verse I want. Verse 8, he said, chapter 2. "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." So God is warning us. He's saying that the enemy is going to come forth and bring false signs and wonders. Excuse me. And we've got to know and try the spirits to be sure to know whether they be of God or not. And said this before, say it again. Everything that names the name of God is not of God. And we need to discern it. Well, this false trinity is one. You've got the false of the real. If there's a real, then there's the devil comes along with something false, and tries to deceive God's people. My thing is that God's people are gullible, and that's sad because we have the Holy Ghost within us that knows the truth, and he tries to tell us, and we won't listen, and we're so gullible we just swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. I hear people talk about they can read books or listen to tapes or whatever, but some of it's really good. And this saying is, well, we just eat the meat and spit out the bones. We had a woman did that in our church. She was buying the books in our church, and we got some books in there that we didn't know they had came against deliverance. And someone in the church got one and came back to Jim with it. And the lady that was buying the book, she says, "Oh, well, they can eat the meat and spit out the bones." And I said, "Yeah, but the problem is the bone gets hung in your throat and you can't get rid of it. And the very thing you don't need out of that book, it's going to stay with you. And the thing you want to keep, you lose. The devil will see that you lose it." And so God is trying to show us, hey, judge everything. Try the spirits and know and don't be deceived. He said, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." Excuse me, I missed that part. "That they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The devil wants us to believe a lie. And he's done a real good job. He's telling us, you see, I see people compromising the truth. I see people afraid to speak the truth. See, God said, We're to go and tell. And he says, when you go and you tell the truth, you speak God's word, then if people don't receive it, then that's between them and God. He didn't tell you nor I to make them try to make them believe it. But we're to speak the truth in love and then leave them to deal with God to deal with them. Once you know you're accountable of making a decision of whether you're going to do as what the word says and believe it the way the it's written, or if you're going to water it down. And I'm a believer that you speak it like it is, and you let God deal with the results of it. I haven't said this, so I'll say it. I thought about it upstairs, and I chickened out. I'm bold now. God doesn't like our pierced ears, girls. The Word says that we're not to cut off our flesh. And men, He doesn't like your tattoos. Pierced ears. And women, oh, goodness. I had a lady come in my church last Wednesday night from one of the missions in town, and she had on a kind of a low-cut dress and a big tattoo right there. First time she'd been in my church, so I didn't attack. I don't know what you do once I get them. I don't know how you get rid of them. But the thing is, the thing that should show you, don't get mad at me, but let me tell you something. The thing that should show you that earrings are of the devil, the pierced earrings are, I'm telling you, girls, look at how the kids are doing with dozens of them. Every place in their nose, their tongue, and other places that I won't mention. That should tell you that the enemy is behind it. It's a spirit of rebellion. It's the enemy trying to destroy. You get your ears pierced, and you get a soul tie with the one that pierce the ears, and there's what's that? Spirit of slavery, but there's a sickness that they found with it, and I can't think of what it is. Bell's palsy comes in through that pierced ears. You see, the devil is just egging people on to destroy themselves, and God's saying, let's obey the word. See, I meddle a lot. And while I'm at it, I'll just go ahead and hit this one too. Over in Isaiah, he talks about, over in Leviticus and probably Deuteronomy on the pork, on the unclean things. Get into the scripture and look at the unclean things that God says that are unclean and you're not to eat. It's an abomination unto you. And there's fish, people are eating shellfish, catfish is a scavenger, shrimp. I fished with shrimp years ago and stunk. I don't see how people ever eat that. But I'm telling you, God says it's unclean. And you know, we wonder why we're sick. Pork. Pork. Shrine. The shrine. You know, the shrine, the pork is mentioned over in Isaiah with a mouse. I'm telling you, we have been deceived. We have disobeyed God's word. And you know, in Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you obey people say, well, I'm blessed of the Lord. He says, if you obey my word and my commandments, then these blessings will come upon you. Boy, that's good. We got the blessings of the Lord. But then he says in chapter 28, verse 15, but if you don't obey my word, all these curses will come upon you. And then there's about 65 of them. There's a bunch of them. There's a lot more curses than there are blessings that God's talking about because of being disobedient to his word. I told y'all I came with my guns loaded. But God wants us free. He does want us free. And, you know, it's a matter of obeying the word. And people say, well, I'm not under the law. Jesus delivered me from the curse of the law. He sure did. But I can take every curse to the cross and repent of it and ask God to forgive me. And then get deliverance for what I've done in being rebellious against what God's word says. The eating of the blood. Oh, boy. How many of you like rare steak? You might have used to have. Praise the Lord. You eat the blood and you bring a curse upon yourself. Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And he said if we obey the law and obey his word, we can walk into the kingdom of God and be free. We get delivered from all this stuff and then walk in the fullness. You know, when I first received the Holy Spirit, I have to tell you a little bit about myself. I come out of the Baptist church, and I was working my way to heaven. Honestly, I was. They didn't call it that. Now, if you're a Baptist, repent. I mean, forgive me. I didn't mean that, because I love the Baptist church, because I really got a lot of the word in the Baptist church. And we had a real good Bible teacher. But the thing was, I was so hungry for God. And every Sunday morning, I went in and I got salvation. And Sunday night, I got salvation. And on Wednesday night, I got training union, but I never could figure out what I was training for. Because the only thing I ever did was went out and knocked on the doors and told people to come to church, because that was the place to be. Until I learned that they need to be saved. And I said, you need to get saved. And they said, how do I get saved? And I said, well, you invite Jesus into your heart. That's what I've been told. And so I just went before the Lord, and I said, Lord, I am so sick of this. I've done everything they tell me to do, and I come home and sit on the couch and cry. Say, Lord, where are you in all of this? And I would cry and cry and cry, and he sent a lady to our church, and I heard she talked in tongues. And I thought, well, she knows how to pray. I didn't pray a lot. I don't know how to pray in the morning. And I sought her out, and I said, and I became friends with her. And the Lord used her to pray for me to receive the baptism. And when he did, the Lord began, when I received the baptism, God began to open the word up. He told me how you got saved. And I praise the Lord for it, because he has shown me through all the things that I went through that there was more and more. And he told me, and this is one thing that I started out to tell you when I was telling you where I came from, that there's a place to walk with the Lord where you don't have to be sick. You walk in health. You don't walk in need, but you walk in the fullness of God. And the Word says when we're walking with Him, He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that means He's going to supply what I need, not what I want. And so He's been bringing me, and I haven't arrived to that place yet. And I want to go on to that place of where I can walk in His presence, and that I can walk in health. And that, you know, I'm just dumb enough to believe that there's a place we can walk with the Lord, that when you walk down the street, that when you walk by people that need deliverance, that they can get deliverance, that they can see Jesus. And as Peter's shadow fell upon people and they were healed, why can't we walk there? That's where he walked. I believe we can. And I believe that it comes to getting rid, being obedient to the Word of God, getting delivered from the things that are not of God, and obeying and going on and helping those around about us, reaching out to others, and not being deceived by the false. Don't get satisfied. If you're satisfied, you're going backwards. There's no such thing as sitting still. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on. Revelation 13 talks about, and verse 13, chapter 13 and verse 13 and 14. Let me see what that is. You know, I was talking to you about dealing with this beast and this woman. That's why I had dug so much in this area of the beast, because I ran into this. I had ministered deliverance to her for a long time, and she'd gotten, I told this that when she first came to us that she wasn't saved. She told me she knew that God was, you know, she had God, but I didn't think to ask her what God. That's true. And for a long time, we just continued praying, breaking soul ties over her and calling her soul back. And when this thing manifested in her, he told me that he almost had her, that almost all of her soul was gone when she came to our church. But we had been praying and calling her soul back, and she got saved. She got her soul back, enough of it back that she could understand the scriptures and the gospel, and she got saved. And this is, as I said, how I ran into this beast. And he told me, he said, you'll never live to see me. I told you, he said he'd never live to see him come out. But he said, I know I'm going to have to go. But when I found out about this, I began to look into this to see what the scripture said about it. And because I had run into all the different things in her, that the different heads that were there on that thing, and what the Lord had shown us, that we have to get each one of the heads out before we can get him out. And I had a hard time getting her to bind the thing in herself. She just talked to it. It talked to her. But she wouldn't bind it. And people, I'm telling you, if you don't bind the spirits in you, You've got the authority to bind them. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, this is the earth, you only earth you've got authority over. It's this one you're in, yourself. And he's given us authority over it. And whatever you bind over this earth is bound, in this earth is bound. And whatever you loose is loose. And you see, we bind sometimes, but we never loose. You bind deception, you need to loose the spirit of truth. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. We need to bind a fear and lose power and love. Perfect love casts out fear. So if we would minister to ourselves in binding and loosing, and when we won't need deliverance and want deliverance, we just could call those things that you could call a lot of them out yourself. I always said, go in, get in a shower and take a spiritual bath. As you're cleaning the outside, clean the inside. Call them out. That's a good place to get deliverance. But I began to look and to see. I wanted to see, and I knew that she, the spirit in her, my whole point of what I'm trying to show this afternoon on deception is the spirit within you will deceive you. It deceived her. And verse 13 said, and he does great wonders so that he makes a star come down from heaven, talking about the false signs, on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So on the outside and people around about us, when we try the spirits and the things you're seeing, see if they be of God. Don't accept everything as being God. But start binding spirits within yourself and defeating the enemy. You know, the Lord had shown me, Tommy was talking about this morning, about the soul being, restored? No, talking about being restored or cleansed or delivered. Okay, the Lord has shown me that over in Genesis, when God created man, and he made him from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul, and we see over in Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, that what we're overcoming, he said this morning, that we're overcoming this flesh. Well, my point when bringing this up, when man was created in the image of God, he had communication with God through the spirit, but he had to have the soul to understand what God was saying to him. And he had communication with him, perfect communication with him. So the devil didn't like that, but God put all of that in an earth body, in a dirt body that came from the dust of the ground. And the dust of the ground didn't belong to God at that time. The word says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But at that time, that was back when all the chaos had just been changed. Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, but what I'm going to say is this. The devil had control of the flesh because it came from the ground. God, the spirit, and the souls. So God is saying we've got to overcome all of this that's in the flesh. And when we do, then we grow up in God. And how we do this by getting our soul delivered from all these things. Because that's where the enemy works on you the most, is in your soul. And he come to rob, to steal. You know, when I first began to learn about the soul years ago and began to teach it, I would ask people, I said, did you ever stop to wonder why God said it? I don't know, I didn't know I was going to get on this, but that's okay. Did you ever wonder why God said the soul, he restores my soul? Psalms 23, everybody knows that. That was one of the first scriptures I guess I ever heard, ever learned. But I never understood why my soul needed to be restored. You know, it said it, and I believed it, and I was believing my soul was restored. But when you get my age, people say, you know, well, I'm young at heart. He said, when you get my age, people say, well, you know, you expect this to happen. You expect that to happen. Your memory gets bad, and you can't do anything. That's a lie. I cut my grass. I ride a lot more. I fix flat tires. I fix the mailbox. I've learned to do everything. I fix my furnace. I've learned to do everything. It's a lie. But you see, the thing is, this is spoken to people about people, and it happens because I see people that are a lot younger than me can't do anything like I, that, you know. And the thing is, what I believe, and you can believe what you want to, but I believe that that part of their soul has been removed, and this unbelief and doubt, this physical things have been put in there, and they need to, and you need to get rid of that. And you need to tell the devil he's a liar. And when people say, you know, you can't do that, I said, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so he came to steal the soul. He caused Adam and Eve to rebel against God, and their communication was cut between them and God in the area of the soul. He said they would die. God said, you eat that fruit and you'll die. Well, they began, their death was, it was a spiritual thing that they were separated from God. And so that's why the devil, when the devil began to come in and take parts of and destroy people. Are y'all there? You gone home? So God is wanting us to know that this thing is working in us, but we don't have to let it. We can get free from it. And we start by getting free, getting our soul back. Somebody asked me last camp meeting, said, how do I know when I get all my soul back? I said, I don't know. I just keep saying, Lord, I want every part in me. I want all of my soul in me that you put in me when you created me. And I don't want any part of me to be missing. I want to be who you made me to be. And you know where every part of it is, and I asked you to restore it, because you said in your word, he restoreth my soul. And I can give you scripture where it's been removed, but I won't this afternoon, because the word tells us it's been fragmented and torn, and it's been when there was none to deliver. And so he wants us to get our soul restored to defeat the don't want to call him a beast, he's an antichrist. Anything is against Christ that's not God, he's anti-God. And so get free from the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. People stop listening to the false and listen to God. Just won't listen to the false. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Oh, I know he talks to me. Don't he talk to you? Well, look, they wonder what they're saying about me. They were whispering. You know, he puts thoughts in your mind and to torment you. Those are tormentors. They're spirits of torment that are sent to torment you. And you don't have to put up with them. We ministered to a lady upstairs and went after pain in her. And the tormentor was putting pain upon her. Pain is the name. The word says that everything that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. And so God is saying to us, let's get free from it. And since I'm not half through, and I have just gone every direction, I think I'm going to stop and we're going to do some deliverance. Anybody want deliverance? Are you ready to admit you've done these things, that you've eaten blood, that you've eaten the pork, and that you've done all these other things, and you've listened to the false counselor, and all of this? Amen? You know, he tells us to repent. I'll give you this just real quickly, to prepare for deliverance. The girls have had about three times now. Some of them have. First of all, you got to repent. First of all, you got to be saved. Are you saved? Everybody knows Jesus here? Is anyone here not sure they're saved? You know, deliverance is the children's bread. It's not for the lost. You wouldn't do someone a favor by getting them delivered if they weren't saved, because they wouldn't have any protection. And they have to be saved. They have to know. They have to be blood-bought. So, first of all, they've got to be, if you're going to minister deliverance to someone, let me tell you. I told the ladies this, know it, now I'm going to tell you men. If you're going to minister deliverance to anyone, you be sure they're born again. And then you need to take them through, they need to repent of sin. They said, well, I hadn't committed any sin. Well, you just did one. You just committed one. You lied. So we repent. And I say, Lord, and I always say this, Lord, show me. I repent of everything that I know that I did, and ask you to forgive me. But show me where I need to repent of anything, because, Lord, I don't want anything to stand in my way. And then we forgive, whether they're living or dead. Anyone, living or dead, that has offended you or you've had unforgiveness against them, repent of it. You know, most everyone has had unforgiveness and resentment against their fathers and mothers. Most people won't admit it, but it's true. So you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. If they're dead, I've had people say, well, they're dead. Why should I, ask forgiveness? Well, because you need to forgive them. and then ask God to forgive you for holding unforgiveness. And then you need to close the door on the occult. You say, well, I've not been involved in it. Well, I would say that somebody in your family has. I was telling them, saying something to the girls upstairs about water witching. My father used to water witch wells. And so I had to repent of it, break the curse of it, and get free from it. And if you drink water from a water witch well, you under curse. And as I said, I'm nitpicking, but we need to get free from all this stuff. We don't want it. And then you need to ask the Lord to restore your soul. And I'm not going to lead you through prayers. I'm going to let you ask the Lord to, you know what you need to pray about. And I'm going to give you a second to do it. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Close the door on the devil. If you've ever been involved in Satanism of any kind, table tipping, water witching, anything, if you were even involved around it when it was being, you know, I don't even go through toys in the store because I don't know what's there and I don't want to be around them. And I think, I guess the Ouija board's called a toy. I don't know. I don't know what they got. It's not a toy. It's the devil. And tarot cards and fortune-telling cards, you know, fortune-told, palm reading, and all of that. So you need to repent of it. So let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you now as your children. You said deliverance is a children's bed. Lord, if I've confused anyone or rambled too much, Lord, forgive me and let nothing, things that I've said that were not of you, let it be removed. But the things that are of you, let the enemy not steal them. We bind the word of God to our spirit that the devil can't steal it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for the deliverance. We thank you that deliverance does belong to your children. And now, Father, as we come to you and we confess our sins, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You said if we confess, you would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, I thank you. And now, Father, I ask you to restore our souls from any place that's been removed. I ask you to lift your angels to go forth to bring it back. Every portion of our soul. Restore in us, Father, the soul you put in us when you created us. And restore us, Father, into full communion with you. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father. And we close the door on the devil and all of everything of the occult, everything that's not of you. Open our spiritual eyes that we may say, Father, I missed that scripture on discernment. But you have given us the spirit of discernment. You've given, if we have the Holy Ghost in us, we have discernment. Because the discernment is in the Holy Spirit, one of the nine gifts. And so, Lord, let the discernment work within us in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you again. And we call upon you now by your Spirit and presence. Let your Holy Spirit just move. You said it's an anointing that breaks the yoke. Let the anointing come forth and break the yoke of bondage over your people in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for deliverance even before we receive in Jesus' name. And we give all the glory and honor and praise to you in Jesus' name. And I bind the strong man in each one. I bind the strong man in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. I bind every force of darkness in the heavens and any hindering spirits, any unbelief or doubt. I bind its power in the name of Jesus. And I just loosen the spirit of deliverance to come forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I call out that spirit of bondage from the false trinity. I bind the false trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And I call him out in Jesus' name. Loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of bondage, antichrist spirits, come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of divination, spirits of divination and incantations, come out of them now in Jesus' name. Spirit of Lebavus and pride, come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I call out that spirit of behemoth, that's one that speaks for instead of God. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I call out the spirit of error in the name of Jesus. Fear in Jesus' name. Come on out of them. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. I break the curse over everyone here from eating blood. And I call every part of that curse out. Come on out of them now. And every infirmity that came in from eating blood, come out of them in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of there now. If you've ever eaten rare meat or haven't gotten deliverance from it, cough that thing out. Make it go. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse of diabetes, the diabetic curse, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command it out. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, I call out the spirit of bitterness, all bitterness in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out pride. I bind the king of pride, Leviathan, and I call him out in Jesus' name. Let him go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out anger and wrath. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all anger, all wrath. In Jesus' name. Come on out there. I call out evil speaking. I break the power of strife over this place in the name of Jesus. And I call the spirit of strife out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call those seducing spirits, deceiving spirits out, lying spirits. Come on out. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against witchcraft spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, doctrines of devils, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Seducing spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of stubbornness, iniquity, and idolatry, come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and come out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Come on out of there. Spirits of deception, all deceiving spirits in the name of Jesus. Bondage, I call the Antichrist spirits out. In the name of Jesus, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen and come out of there. I come against that hunter of souls in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose and come out in Jesus' name. You spirit of the hunt that hunts the souls, come out of there. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. Spirit of Nimrod, come out of there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Apollyon, Abaddon, let them go in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Let them go in Jesus' name. Stir them up. Come on. Breathe in. Breathe out. Cough. If you want some deliverance, you cough a time or two and they'll start coming out. Stubborn spirits, spirits of retardation, come out of there. All the occult, the Ouija board, palm reading, handwriting, and hypnotic spirits, horoscope, come out of there. Turn them loose and let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of insecurity, self-rejection, self-rejection, come on out in Jesus' name. Guilt, in the name of Jesus. Gluttony, gluttony spirits, come out in Jesus' name. I'm going to get rid of that dude chest. In the name of Jesus. And I told y'all it was there. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of condemnation and shame, come out. Guilt, come out of there. Lust spirits, fantasy lust, come on out of there in Jesus' name. Adultery, fornication, come out of there. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of Jesus. Resentment and violence in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of the witch and witchcraft. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Blood sacrifice, hexes and vexes and spells in Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there in Jesus' name. I call out all the unbelief and the doubt. I call out lying spirits. A judgmental spirit, anger, come on out of there now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Come on out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, covetousness, jealousy, in the name of Jesus, loosen them and come out. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the fears of rejection, fear of the things to come, fear of the dark, fear of car wrecks, fear of accidents, fear of snakes, fear of people, come out of there now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirits of rebellion, all the rebellion against God's word. I don't care what the word says. And all that rebellion against God's word, come out of them. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Suspicion, confusion, all the confusion. I break curses of aging in the name of Jesus, and I call them out in Jesus' name. Every curse of aging, come out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, come on out of them. In the name of Jesus, every symptom of old age, I call you out. Tiredness, cripple, all of it, come out of there now in Jesus' name. And tiredness, come out of there. Every curse from old age, that curse of aging, come out of there. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. a poor memory, memory loss, in the name of Jesus. Come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Loosen them and let them go. I call out every symptom. I call out every symptom of it. Tiredness and stiffness of the bones and joints. Come out in Jesus' name. I call out Alzheimer's disease. Come out there. Come out there. Come out there right now. I break every curse of Alzheimer's that I commanded to go. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, all confusion of the mind, come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. I come against nervous breakdown. I call it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loosen them. I break witchcraft control. I call control out. Come out there now in Jesus' name. Every controlling demon, let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loosen them. I call out fatigue, tiredness, and weariness. Come out of there. All the fatigue, all the tiredness. Come out of them. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loosen them and let them go. Poor memory, memory loss. Come out of there now. Losing words, losing time. Come out of there now. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of deafness. I call the deafness out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of seduction, come out of there now in Jesus' name. I call every seducing spirit out. Every spirit of seduction, come out of them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Come on out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit of mind control, confusion, mind wandering, mind binding, loss of memory, come out of there. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus. I come against blindness, spirits of blindness and spirits of deafness. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out of there. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Come on out of there and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against mind control. I break the bands of control off the mind, and I ask, Father, restore the mind, every part of it, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Loosen them and let them go. I'm going back through that one again. I break every curse of aging, every symptom of aging, forgetfulness, in the name of Jesus. I call it off in the name of Jesus. I call off arthritis, every symptom that's put on older people in the name of Jesus. I call off the things, the blood problems, heart problems, tiredness, poor memory, eyesight. I come against the blindness of the eyes, deafness of the ears. Come out of there. You spirit that's trying to put deafness on people, I command you out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come out of there now. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go. I call cataracts off. I break the curse of cataracts that's handed down from bloodline. Come out of there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. Forgetfulness, poor memory, come out in Jesus' name. Tiredness. There's a spirit that tries to block your mind, and I call that mind-blocking spirit out. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I come against heart problems, heart attacks, heart blockage, high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of stroke, I call stroke out. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of Jesus, I come against cancer. I call cancer out. Cancer of the blood, cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call the spirit of lupus out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the curse of lupus and I call it out. There's a lady in our church delivered from it. And in the name of Jesus, I call it off in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Every curse, every cancerous curse of the blood, come out in Jesus' name. Every seducing spirit, in the name of Jesus, seduction, deception, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against the spirits of error and insanity and insomnia. Come out of them in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, all spirits of infirmity, I come against the spirit of obesity, and I break the curse in the name of Jesus over the bloodline, and I call it out in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hatred of mother, hatred of father, come out in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. Thank you.